This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 25th, 2019, the 10th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Lord, will those who are saved be few? In words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is a very direct question posed to our Lord. It is a direct question posed to our Lord because he has alluded many times to the fact that those who will be saved will be few. Someone wants a direct answer. They ask the question, and Jesus doesn't answer him. It's interesting that it says he looks at them and says, everybody's around him. And that's us, his disciples. And he answers the question. He doesn't give a definitive number. He doesn't give definitive percentages. He answers in a parable. But the parable, if you pay attention to it, and if you listen to what Jesus has taught elsewhere, is an unmistakably explicit answer to the question, Lord, will those who are saved be few? His answer is, in a nutshell, yes. Yes, comparatively speaking, those who will go to heaven will be much fewer than those who go to hell, contrary to what we hear so often in our day. This is what our Lord says. He most assuredly answers the question. You just have to have eyes to see and ears to hear what he says. You have to have been listening to him throughout his ministry to understand what he says. Now, is Jesus contradicting himself by saying, yes, there are few that will be saved? Absolutely not. Does he not say he will give his life a ransom for many? Well, what is it, few or many? Well, when you take into consideration, for instance, that no one will go into heaven except for the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said he shed his blood a ransom for many. The many that do go to heaven, there will be many. But comparatively speaking, there will be a whole lot more who do not. The words of our Lord. He doesn't contradict himself. You have to pay attention to what he's got to say. Not just here, but everywhere else. You know, a lot of other places, he gets even more specific than here. The number saved is comparatively very small to those who are not. Okay? That's a euphemism for those who go to hell. Yeah, hell that really exists, that lasts for all eternity. All right? That's why our Lord talks about it so much. Why our Lord answers this question this way, why he wants us to understand that, is he wants to undercut any idea whatsoever of presumption. He does not want us to be deceiving ourselves that for some reason, because of this, that, or the other thing, we can get into heaven. It is an individual thing. We do not want to deceive ourselves. Our Lord Jesus Christ is specifically talking to, in his day, Jews. You know, what is the Jewish mindset? Well, I'm going to heaven because why? I'm a Jew. I'm one of the chosen people. I'm an ethnic Hebrew. My bloodline is that of Abraham. I'm going to heaven. Jesus says, I will tell you, you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets feasting at the supper table of the Lamb, and you will be thrust out. What? How do we thrust out? I'm a Jew. Now, we could sit here and go, yeah, those are Jews who didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah. This applies to us more than it does to them because they didn't really have all the info. We do. We knew who is the Messiah. We knew what he was going to do for us. We know that. It's a given fact. It's objective. Let us not deceive ourselves like the Jews and think, oh, because of my bloodline. For us, it's religiosity. For us, it's, I'm a baptized Catholic. I was confirmed in the Catholic Church. I go to Mass on Sunday. So what? So what? Doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with practically embracing, in faith and obedience, the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Struggling, striving to get through this narrow gate of which he speaks. Again, this is the message from one cover to the next of the Scriptures. There is never one place ever, I challenge you, do it, please, call me, send me, well, what about this? There is no place in Scripture that says the opposite or even alludes to the fact that everybody might go to heaven, that there might not be a hell. That's antithetical to what Scripture teaches. You deceive yourself if you believe that or if you like listening to it because it makes you more comfortable. The way Jesus answers this with this parable, and this is even more telling for us than it was for the Jews at the time. What is their excuse going to be when they knock on the door and it's not answered and he says, depart from me? What's the answer? We ain't drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. Put that in our context. Yeah. This recent survey that was conducted, of which most people around here know, or most, probably because the world even knows, 70% don't believe in the real presence, the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity. It's a symbol. It's just some, you know, signification. No, it's not. I always check people when they say 70% of Catholics don't check that. It does. You have to believe that to be a Catholic. You have to believe that the bread and wine at the words of consecration no longer exist, but the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior Jesus Christ. Not understand how it happens, because none of us do. Not how understanding it happens, just believing it because he says, this is my body, this is my blood. Okay, God, I'm good with that. You know, I don't believe that. To think of that, think about that. I don't believe that. Yeah. Just as easily said, I don't believe what Jesus Christ says. That's what they're saying. It's the height of sacrilege and blasphemy and heresy to say that. So it's not 70% of Catholics don't believe it. It's 70% of people who darken our doors, at least in the places surveyed, 70% of the people who darken our doors every Sunday aren't Catholics. So not only are they not Catholics, they don't believe it, they are receiving our Lord Jesus Christ outside the proper disposition, not discerning properly the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ate and drank in your presence. That's not the answer. We ate and drank your presence. Not in your presence. We ate and drank your presence. St. Augustine says about this passage, particularly that line about we ate and drank in your presence. St. Augustine says, I quote, you see, they did not value their food very highly. And yet, it was with reference to it that they said they belonged to him. That's going to be the judgment seat for this 70% of people. We ate and drank in your presence. Depart from me. You didn't even believe what you were doing. You heard words, should anyway, hear words from the pulpit that expound this teaching. You should pay attention to the words of Mass about what it is. You should know church teaching because you're a member of the church about what it speaks to this issue. And if you don't believe, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our street. I listened to what you had to say. I looked at it as a salad bar, and I took what I liked and what I didn't like. That was all well and good. Eating in his presence and listening to what he says, has nothing to do with getting to heaven. Living what he says. Believing what he says. This is my body. This is my blood. This is what gets you to heaven. Because St. Augustine, when he gets done speaking of this, they're going to appeal to this as belonging to him. He appeals to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29. It says, if you do not discern properly the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, you eat and drink damnation to yourself. A lot of people, do, if they even pay attention to that verse right there, is, well, that means if you're in mortal sin, you should. That's a no-brainer. If you're in mortal sin, you ought not, you must not, do not come up and receive communion. All right? If you're in mortal sin. This isn't just talking about that. This is talking about not properly understanding what it is. And when I say understand, I don't mean to explain it or to get how it happens, but to just believe what our Lord Jesus Christ said. This is what St. Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians. A proper disposition of receiving our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. We don't hear this stuff. What do we hear? We hear things like this. People who do not know Christ but seek God with a sincere heart, or people who strive to lead a good life, they may be okay. A lot of people miss that little three-letter word that really seems, in the grand scheme of theology, really inconsequential, but it is huge. Because if that word may isn't there, it becomes heresy. That you do not know Jesus Christ, you will inherit eternal life. Or that if you just lead a good life with a sincere heart, you will receive. No, what does it say? It, you may. If they put that in there, you have to say, okay, yeah, I agree with that. And you have to. Because Jesus Christ looked at the thief on the cross and said, this day you will be with me in paradise. The guy's a career criminal. He's a robber. He's a thief. Probably a murderer. And our Lord Jesus Christ looks at him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, see, that's how merciful Jesus is. He didn't look at him and speak Southern and say, y'all will be with me today in paradise. He didn't say to both of them. He said it to one of them. And the percentages there are much better than we're looking at, because at least that was a 50-50 proposition. One went and the other didn't. Yeah. This is a teaching of the church. You ever look, Eastern Orthodox crucifix, I kind of like this aspect of them. A lot of them have the little diagonal thing at the bottom of the cross. That little diagonal that one thief went to heaven, the other thief did not. Why did one thief go to heaven? Because he had a heartfelt conversion. He heard what our Lord Jesus Christ said, and he embraced his teaching. He said, Lord, he didn't even ask to go to heaven. He humbled himself. You know, if you're in that, this guy knows he's going to be dead in a half hour or so. And he doesn't look at Jesus and say, please, Lord, take me to heaven with you. He doesn't presume on that at all. He looks at the Lord and says, Lord, when you get to heaven, you get into your kingdom, remember me. I might be deep in hell, remember me. And because of that confession, Jesus Christ looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. So this isn't a hopeless thing. You're like, oh, 50-50. I hope I'm on the 56. Again, the percentages for us are a lot worse. This is Jesus Christ's truth. We have to appreciate that. That word may, it sounds so positive. And okay, if you like stuff like that, that's great. Again, you can't look at it and say, that's not true. Because what is may? May is a conjecture. That may happen, but you can equally say, that may not. Could you imagine if you presented it that way? You live a good and sincere life, you may not go to heaven. You know, I know Jesus Christ, but you might see God, you know, with a sincere heart. You may not go to heaven. Oh, no, we couldn't say that. But that's what you're saying when you say may, because that's a conjecture. And if you conjecture on one side, you can conjecture on the other. This is what we have to appreciate. Conjecture, because that is a presentation of textual criticism. And to conjecture is the suggestion or reconstruction of a text that deviates from the original source and the way it was originally understood. That's conjecture. Oh, gosh, man, what is this may stuff? Maybe I. We don't have to worry about mays. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to conjecture. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks definitively when this question is posed to him. Definitively, explicitly. Lord, will there be few be saved? He goes through a parable, the one we heard in Luke. But it's even more pointed when you see the parallel in Matthew chapter 7. Same question. Lord, the gate is wide and easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it will be many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. This is the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the explicit presentation of the gospel message and the answer to this question. Are there a few will be saved? Because you know, in the parable of the wedding feast, you got some guy who's at the wedding feast. He's partying. He's eating with everybody. Everything's cool. I'm sitting here. I'm at the banquet. This is great. And the master comes over to him finally and says, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And you get the deer in the headlights. Huh? There's no answer. He gives no answer whatsoever. He doesn't try to make an excuse because he's confronted with a fact. How did you get in here without a wedding garment? He doesn't answer, and the master said, hey, go get him a wedding garment because I'm merciful, because the master is God. Go get him a wedding garment because I'm so merciful. I got so much grace. Bind him hand and foot and cast him into utter darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell. Those are the same words he uses at the end of that gospel that we heard today. What will be their lot? Cast him to outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's all about embracing the truths that our Lord Jesus Christ presents to us. Those who do not know Christ but seek God with a sincere heart. What do you do with Acts chapter 4 when the Holy Spirit says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That ain't may right there. Must be saved. Our Lord Jesus Christ. This could sound, in this presentation, like, this is hopeless. It's not. It's just the opposite. And this is why Jesus answers the way he does. This is why he doesn't say 10%, 20%, X amount of people. Jehovah's Witnesses, they love that. 144,000. Here there's only 144,000 people in heaven. I think they're there already, so we can sleep in on Sundays. All right? There's no number. He doesn't give a number. Why? Because he wants us to have hope. But with that hope, he does not want there to be presumption. He will not have us presume on our salvation. He wants us to know that we must work hard. That it is a very difficult thing to get into heaven. And it don't cut it, to use bad grammar, to come to Mass on Sunday. That's not enough. I'm fulfilling my obligation. You have to live this life. That is the narrow gate. This is what we have to appreciate. He is being hopeful. He's giving us hope by presenting it in the way he does. You know, he's God and all whatnot. So he knows how to respond to us, to give us hope, but to still give us a dose of reality. And this isn't a matter of looking at those 70% of people who answered that survey the way they did and go, you horrible sinner, you're going to hell. No. This is the catalyst for you to go help them because you know who they are. They're members of your family. They're members of your family who don't go to Mass, who are lackadaisically approaching Mass. They are your friends who sit with you at lunch and go, wow, this teaching, that teaching, and this scandal, and that scandal. What about you and Jesus Christ? That's the bottom line. And what do you think about the Eucharist? Because you need to correct the sinner. It is a mandate of Holy Church. You don't point your finger out and tell they're going to hell. You warn them that unless they change the way they perceive things, and then you let the Holy Spirit do the rest. That's all there is to it. Our Lord Jesus Christ's answer gives us hope. We're not to look at predetermined numbers, that we are to strive. We are to work hard to enter in the narrow gate. And we just have to realize it's going to be hard. You walk out of here, oh man, that sounds tremendously difficult. Great. It's going to be hard. Anything worth anything in this world, particularly in the next, is going to take struggle and effort. It must be genuine. You have to show that you want something. Most people play sports in high school or whatever, just a pickup game. But you get, you know, if you were the last one to be picked, you know why it was? Because you never practiced. All right? This whole, you know, social choosing and social promotion nonsense that we have now. No, you don't get picked for something if you're not good at it. Yeah? That's a reality check for kids. Yeah? Were there not always kids in your class, particularly those who are my age, around my age and older? There was always somebody in the class like, that guy's always, he's never picked, he's never out. What is that? That's horrible. That's bullying. You know, that lets him know that he needs to practice. Because if he starts practicing, he starts getting good, he'll get picked. That's reality. You can't slough off at school. You'll fail tests and you will not pass. Well, depending on where to go to school. All right? You can't approach school with the broad road. Yeah? Take the path of least resistance. This is easy. No. There's a narrow gate. And it's difficult and it's hard, uncomfortable, but we must do it to get to heaven. Jesus Christ's answer negates spiritual laziness, cutting corners. Don't you love hearing that anymore? We don't do that anymore. We don't do that as much anymore. You don't have to fast as long anymore. Yeah, look around you. 70%, that's why it happens. Because of laziness and corner cutting. And especially our Lord Jesus Christ's answer negates presumption. Once saved, always saved. Lie. It's a lie. There, before the grace of God, you could lose your salvation tonight. That's all there is to it. That's reality. So what do you do? I got to watch it. Yeah, that's exactly Jesus' point. Be very thankful if someone looks at you and they call you a fanatic, or if they look at you and call you rigid. Thank you, because this means you are not one of the many who are not. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.